Well, good evening, folks. Today's date is May 6th, 2025. Very good there, Coach. Yes, indeed. Father, as always, we thank you for this opportunity to come together to learn more regarding the words that you have afforded us. I pray that all here today are edified with what has been on my mind and brings thought and further learning to them. Amen. The subject today is just thinking. These are a few of the subjects that I ponder periodically that come to light. They are not in-depth studies. Rather, they are food for thought and tidbits that put out there that I put out there for you folks. And if you are so inclined to maybe do a 15-minute venture into the subjects for your own research, and by all means, do not hesitate to send me an email or call me regarding discussion, for in that action, we both learn more. Okay, the first one is, let the new year go forth unfettered. And I realize that we're already in May, but you can carry this one forward. So we're going to go to Isaiah 43, and we'll go 15 through 19, and then 21 and 22, 25. Yes, that's what we'll do. I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Thus saith the Lord, which maketh a way in the sea and a path in the mighty waters, which bringeth forth the chariot and the horse, the army and the power. They shall lie down together, they shall not rise, they are extinct, they are quenched as low. Remember ye not the former things, neither consider things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. And that is really saying something for Arizona here. 43:21. This people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise. But thou hast not called upon me, O Jacob. But thou hast been weary of me, O Israel. 25. I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake, and I will not remember thy sins. That says so much. That is just beautiful. This is, I, even I, am he that blotteth out my transgressions for mine own sake and will not remember thy sins. Acts 28:28. Be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles and that they will hear it. And thus the mystery of the message is given to us all, that we may go forward in each new year without sin and without our faith intact. In the name of Christ Jesus. Amen. Next one. Where did they all come from? The peoples of Africa? Where did they all come from? The peoples in South America, where did they all come from? The North American tribes, where did they all come from? So we'll go to Genesis, and we'll be reading Genesis 1 through 9. And the whole earth was of one language 11:1-9. I'm sorry about that. Genesis 11:1-9. And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, "Go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly." And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. And they said, "Go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven. And let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth." And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower, which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, "Behold, the people is one, and they have all one language. And this they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them, which they have imagined to do. Go to, let us go down, and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech." And so the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. Therefore is the name of it called Babel, because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth. And from thence did the Lord scatter upon the face of all the earth. Strong's Hebrew Dictionary, 894, Babel, you know, the search for H94 in the King James Version, and load in ESI. It's confusion from H1101. It's confusion, Babel, including Babylonia and the Babylonian Empire. It is this act that is interesting, that after the flood, the descendants of Noah did not heed the events of the past that would have been in oral history. And for their collaboration in sin, God dispersed them over the face of the earth and confounded their language. God accomplished this feat in a very short span of time and without the need for land bridges, the ice age, etc. The question of how is really of no importance. The point is that God did it. The question at this point is answered unless the conclusion desired is mired with how. Again, this is on the need-to-know basis, and we did not need to know in order to sustain faith. Next one. Let me repeat that. The question at this point is answered unless the conclusion desired is mired with how. Again, this is on the need-to-know basis, and we did not need to know in order to sustain faith. Next one. Did the serpent introduce evil? And we'll go to Genesis 3, and we'll read 1 through 5. "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." Genesis 3:22. "And the Lord God said, Behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Kind of jumping forward here, look at it as Cain's action against Abel is the probable basis for prejudice today. Prejudice at its base has nothing to do with color. Cain's transgression was from a jealous superiority standpoint. Cain's sin and evil is gotten through the ingestion of the forbidden fruit by his parents. The serpent was cursed after the beguilement of Eve. This does not mean that Satan is slithering around on his belly from here on out. Rather, the serpent was complicit in Satan's deception of Eve. Animals may have an inherent awareness of God that is outside of our comprehension. Genesis 3:14. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. So, the next one is actually in reference to Forrest's presentation back 2 years ago, in May of 2023. I lend my ear in order to hear and to believe in my heart. Matthew 13, 14 through 24, 14 through 15. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand. And seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. I mean, that really says a lot, where there's a lot of the times you see people, they will avoid the truth in order not to be encumbered or not to be bound to it. John 1:5, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. So as it goes, with humility and faith, I will give my ears through listening and accepting wisdom or understanding, and I will see the message that is placed before me and pray, comprehend it. Next one, for the sake of man. Some time back, Alan Nass spoke of Satan offering power to Jesus. Not that I am second-guessing what Alan's study was about, but a thought occurred to me. How could Satan expect to offer any power that was originally given to him by God? It makes one wonder whether Satan understood the power and presence of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Matthew, I messed up my notes here. I don't know, but this is in Matthew. We'll go ahead and read from there and find out where we are. Tony, I'll give you a chance to look at that and figure out which chapter that is. And saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. It is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And thank you, Tony. Yeah, that's in Matthew chapter 4. Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them, and saith unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Hebrews 2:16 and 17. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore, in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. Jesus was not here for the sake of the angels. He was here for the sake of man. Next one. Creation is not a myth. We go to Mark 10, verse 6. But from the beginning of the creation of God, made them male. Let me say that again. But from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female. So you have to be careful how you speak sometimes. You get tongue twisted and people can get the wrong message. Mark 13, verse 19. For in those days shall be affliction, such as was not from the beginning of the creation from God, which God created unto this time, neither shall be. Romans 1:20. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Romans 8:22. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. 2 Peter 3, verse 4. And saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. Revelation 3:14. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. And another little thought I had here, and this had to do with, again, what I said earlier. You have to be careful how your speech is and how you present things to people, lest they get they're confused and they're misled. So, what is the difference between inductive and deductive Bible study? In terms of Bible study, an inductive approach generally starts with some passage and attempts to infer a principle or teaching. A deductive approach starts with some principle or teaching and attempts to find supporting passages. Inductive emphasizes discovery. Deductive emphasizes proof. One must be wary of having ideas induced as opposed to deducing understanding by way of study. We were watching a program one morning. It was put out by the Seventh-day Adventists, and the gentleman that was speaking was addressing a large group of children. His discussion was about baptism, and one of the things he said was that when Jesus was baptized and raised out of the water, a voice from above sounded saying, "Now this is my son." Interestingly enough, that raises the question as to, well, then what was Jesus before his baptism? It is important to get this information straight because Matthew 3:17 reads, "And lo, a voice from heaven saying, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.'" This was an affirmation, a confirmation, not a sudden occurrence or a goal attained, a misread or a change in dialogue oftentimes brings about a mislead. Mark 1:11. "And there came a voice from heaven saying, 'Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.'" In other words, God is just saying at that moment that, hey, I may not have said it before, but I'm saying it right now. Thou art my beloved Son, and I am very well pleased with you. Luke 3:22. "And the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven which said, 'Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased.'" Next one. "Did Jesus perform any miracles, such as changing water to wine, before he was baptized?" Make sure I get the right page here. Okay. John chapter 2, we're going to read through verse 1 through 11. "And the third day, there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there, and both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto them, 'They have no wine.' Jesus saith unto her, 'Woman, what I have to do with thee? What have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come.' His mother saith unto the servants, 'Whatever he saith unto you, do it.' And there were set there 6 water pots of stone, after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. Jesus saith unto them, 'Fill the water pots with water.' And they filled them up to the brim. And he saith unto them, 'Draw out now, and bear unto the governor of the feast.' And they bear it. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom, and saith unto him, 'Every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have drunk, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now.' This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him." The next one. Were the apostles baptized? I myself could not find any place specifically in Scripture that stated the baptism of Jesus' disciples, but it does stand to reason that they would have engaged themselves in the measure that is stated in Matthew 28:19. "Go ye, therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost." John 3:22. After these things came Jesus and his disciples into the land of Judea, and there he tarried with them and baptized. It does kind of stand to reason that prior to this baptism of the Spirit, that the disciples had been baptized of water. I think it's safe to say that they were baptized of the Spirit in their belief. One of the most important things to me as far as, in study is the tool by which we go about our study. Right division, rightly dividing the word. And I'm sure you folks have heard this from me before, but I will reiterate it. Rightly dividing, in its simplest form, is a very easy concept to understand. We rightly divide almost every day in our lives, whether it is information we are receiving in the newsprint or on the TV or from someone in person. We rightly divide that information to determine accuracy, truth, and to what it truly pertains. When one is shopping for groceries and you are choosing produce, the process of discerning what is ripe is a measure of rightly dividing. You are rightly dividing when choosing the proper ingredients for a recipe. We rightly divide when addressing personal issues at our places of employment. That is, if it is our charge. We are faced often with determining sincerity in various people we encounter. Once we understand rightly dividing in the events around us, then the word in Scripture, we can go back to all other Scripture, and when understood, it will fortify our foundation of faith, belief, and hope. We will be able to understand what is addressed to us and know that what is not addressed to us is for instruction. 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. The mystery is not so mysterious as long as you have an open heart and open mind for the information that God puts before you. As we may walk up to a stream and have thirst, if we do not bow down and scoop from the water to quench our thirst, we will never know how this will benefit us, having not tried. We can put all our faith and all our hope in God's hands, but until we are ready to believe, to what end will it benefit us? I was blessed with two legs, not to be carried, but rather to walk with my own stride. I drive a car, but I do not say, Lord, steer me in the right direction and release the wheel. If you do this, you may be surprised to find yourself running into another car or a pole or off a cliff. The wisdom to wield the knowledge you have been given must be practiced by oneself. God blesses you with particular attributes in order to do things for yourself with His guidance. If you are not willing to lift a hand, put one foot in front of the other, or to steer the vehicle, how can you be successfully guided? And they who may view our way of belief, faith, study as being somewhat of a cult, I say, we defined, do not require anyone to conformity, supplication to a group or human leader, conveyance of one's wealth to the control of others as a sign of obedience. We study, teach, discuss according to the Scripture, neither diminishing what message has been given to us, nor adding to the message with intended contrivance or embellishment. And again, I know most of you have probably heard this last portion about right division, but I do think it is important to revisit this key, this important tool to understanding Scripture, periodically to remind ourselves or to inform others who have not come to fully understand it. Most of the other short thoughts that I have included here are in a lot of ways just short thoughts, some of which I am still working on, but I would encourage you, if you're interested, to work on them yourself and invite you to share your thoughts with me as I am still learning just like everyone else. Oh Lord, it is with great humility that I come to this moment and pray that my thoughts and study is pleasing to you. I would trust that there is great humility among the listeners today and that they are strong in faith and hope. Please be with us all in moments that we call to you and even those moments when we may not realize at times that we need you. We will try not to lean entirely unto ourselves, our strength and understanding. Rather, we will accept the wisdom that you can bestow upon us that bolsters our understanding of the knowledge that is placed before us. With absolute love and thankfulness for the sacrifice made by Christ Jesus. Amen.